NITV Radio, Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 1 p.m. or anytime online.
I'm Bertrand Tungandami on NITV Radio, having a yarn with the Wiradjuri woman, Aunt Jeffrey, and Tongarong woman, Cassie Latham, whose black design jewellery will be on display in the Black Jewellery Finding Past, Linking Present exhibition that will launch on the 4th of September. The exhibition will showcase creations of the first cohort of the Koori Heritage Trust's Black Design Cultural Innovation Program, a four-year program, the first of its kind, aiming to foster First Nations cultural innovation within the Victorian design sector and provide a platform for nurturing sustainable First Nations design practices. Now, this exhibition is a culmination of a journey that started about a year ago. Can you share with us this journey you've just accomplished?
Yeah, so I went to RMIT with the Koori Heritage Trust Black Designs. The first couple of weeks, we actually got to experience new skills. In the past, I've actually done the NGV designs with Blanche Tilden and the design team at the NGV. It was basically when I was applying for this, it was to continue my skills and build on my knowledge in modern day jewellery making, because previously, you know, it's all been about organic and natural materials for me. So, yeah, the first couple of weeks at the RMIT, it was, me being out of my comfort zone and learning new techniques with, sawing and, drilling and hammering and working with metals. It was a lovely experience, but unfortunately the next lineup of the workshops, some circumstances came up for me and I couldn't attend, which was really disappointing for me. But I took it upon myself to actually, research and do some homework at home. I learned how to do some casting and make my own molds and cast with the help of David from Lenrose in Melbourne. I continued to have that mentorship, but also to explore my own field of, metalworks, and with the help of my dad as well. It was really an amazing connection because he's a boilermaker, welder and engineer, and to see, me continuing that little bit of metalwork as well was really important. The design team, was absolutely fantastic, and it consisted of Lindy McSwan, Blanche Tilden and Laura Deacon, and that Sheil Scare in there has and will continue for me in a long-term thing, because I do want to continue this journey of casting and creating with the metal elements as well as my organic practice as well.
Now, Ange, can you share your journey with us as well?
Prior to the Black Design course, I had the opportunity to do a couple of training through another organisation in techniques and making things in for jewellery, so using different metals. But this particular course really grabbed my attention, not just because of the, intensive. They had a two-week intensive on doing techniques, which I did pick up new things, because I think, and I always have learnt new things off different people, different ways of doing things. So that was really handy. But this course also provided the opportunity to look at other things, not just the techniques and, making. We did conversations and there was little workshops around, having your own business or retail and art galleries. And so it was very holistic. I added a lot of things to my tool belt, and I'm still learning, which is great. And the mentors have been fantastic.
So it was not just about the creative and, I would say, on a metal side of teachings that you took out of this program, but it was a more of a holistic approach.
Yeah, so for me, I had an opportunity to look at the design and taking an idea and from this to that, and then turning it into a piece and then having that expand. So they were really good where they stepped through that. There was a lot of other little things that were added. It wasn't just about making a piece or having those techniques to be able to, like Cassie mentioned, how to do casting or saw piercing and bits and pieces there. It was a lot more than just making jewellery. It was really good.
Now, Cassie, we know from your previous appearances in art shows and exhibitions, you normally use recycled, repurposed material, including roadkill. Everything you use is natural, and now you're experimenting with totally new materials. Was this something you intended to do, or the idea of using these new materials stems from this program you just got involved in?
It was definitely the Black Design Project that really inspired me to apply, because, as I said, it was another way that I could continue from the NGV jewellery collection, from making river reeds, you know, from little pieces of silver tubing. I just really love that idea of, you know, expressing, you know, our cultural traditions through modern techniques. And with my jewellery collection, it is about past, present and future. So I always acknowledge the past, my ancestors, the ones before me. I'm here in the present for a purpose, and that purpose is to continue their journey, but also for the future generations that can witness and visibly see that I'm still creating and carrying those stories from before me through to this modern day. Whether it's still continuing my organic natural processing, but also having the elements of the new techniques that I've learned through the Black Design Program, it's given me this another platform to share with people. So the casting of my weaving, like people go, oh, it's kind of like, oh, that will be easy. You just, you know, do a little bit of wax work and send it in and you get it casted. But there's so much more to it. Like, I'm weaving with wax. I've got to do the dainty little, you know, intricate pieces of string making with wax, and that wax can just break straight away. So I've got to remold it. So I'm weaving with wax. I'm then getting it casted, and I've done my own casting as well, which has been really, like, I've had about like 20 different molds break on me, and I have to start back to scratch again. You know, getting the materials as well. You know, and sourcing out, you know, recycled silvers and processing that as well, like melting that down and putting that into my cast, has been a new insight into, you know, what I can do now. And the Black Designs Project has given me that opportunity to continue this discovery of new options of what I can put and to show and give understanding to the people that, you know, want to follow my journey with my creating. Because I started off, you know, I've always done adornments and, you know, naturals, and now it's putting that beautiful element of silver. I love silver, and having that into my works that will be featured in this exhibition coming up at the Koori Heritage Trust, people will see the beautiful bone needles that, you know, I've carved from bone, kangaroo bone. I've carved on a grinding stone, and I've put that in with my organic sinew and threads that I've created, you know, and then having the silver casting. So it's all connected. So there's that, the past is the kangaroo bone. The present is my organic natural fibres. I've got the beautiful kangaroo grass fibres that I've made twine. Then I've used native beeswax, and then I've got the kangaroo sinew to hold it all together. So to have that beautiful element there of me being a present worker with natural materials, and then having the silver, which is the modern, you know, is the future today. So carrying those three things forward in this beautiful design collection I've done. Overall, I've done about 50 pieces. I've just wanted to work with silver for so long now, and having that opportunity to learn from, you know, the mentors and getting ideas and transforming them into new pieces and having them on exhibition alongside all the other amazing artists and talent there, it's just an extraordinary experience for me to have. You know, I've got rings, I've got a beautiful bracelet, I've got the necklaces, and I've also got the beautiful earrings that do represent bush tucker as well. So when I go out and collect, because people got to realise, you know, I weave with bone needles, I weave my baskets to go and collect my bush tucker. So I've actually got, you know, some elements there that have got the earrings of the wattle pods, and then I've got the beautiful bone needles with the weaving pieces. So it all kind of, you know, tells a story. And I think when someone wears a piece of jewelry, that, you know, I don't want it to be a piece of jewelry. I want it to be able to carry a story. So when the wearer is wearing it, they can go, well, this is actually the significant meaning of this piece. And they carry that story forward with them, whether it's a non-Indigenous person or an Indigenous person, they've got that story with them. So then they can share that empowerment of, you know, the past, the present, and what the future holds for us all. So for me, it's like a reconciliation piece. It's like coming together, you know, sharing that beautiful journey and having the wearers wear it with you know, significant meaning and story behind it all. It's very, very important for me to share that.
Yeah, quite powerful storytelling there. And Ange, can you also share the story behind your pieces?
I'll be putting in 4 pieces inspired by where I grew up. So I grew up on Wombul, which is also known as the Macquarie River, Wiradjuri woman, up until I think I was 17 when I left home. There's inspiration from that, but also the shape and the chain design has been inspired by what we call Aboriginal breastplates or king and queen plates. The breastplate originated as the gorget or gorget, depending on how you pronounce it, which was originally a cloth worn by women in the Middle Ages by French women. It has grown and evolved over the years from this cloth to armour breastplates that was worn, you know, for sieges. And then as the need for the breast armour minimised, the shape of the gorget changed and it got smaller and it was put on a chain, so it ended up being a piece of jewellery. It was used in the military for recognition of, you know, rank and hierarchy. Until the lapels and the stars came into place, the gorget was changed and modified from a piece of cloth all the way through to that. And when it came to Australia, it was still being used by the military before being obsolete. But it was used in Australia and other places of First Nations people as a way for, I think it was, the first one was given by Governor Macquarie. And then when he left, that it was given out by other colonisers to Aboriginal people that they felt were, you know, notable people or wanted to recognise them for, you know, they could have helped them around their farm, like, because they're settlers. Yeah, so for reward and recognition. And I know that the breastplate in Australia has, you know, very different opinions from different people and different backgrounds where people saw them as signs of oppression. I've also read accounts of people and families that they're actually really proud of them and they've become heirlooms that they've passed down, you know, from generation to generation from when it was first given out. I wanted to sort of push that boundary and push that, you know, the stigmatism around it and get people to actually start having that conversation and people feel comfortable to talk about those things. But my intention was to push it through its next cultural evolution. So it's now something that, you know, I'm hoping that my pieces, people can actually look at them as beauty and jewellery pieces and not that symbolism of colonisation and all the bad things and the things that have happened to our people in Australia. So,
yeah, gorget or breastplates, whichever you call them, usually have a very negative connotation. And you're shedding a new light, a more positive light in your own way on these objects?
Yeah, in my own way. And just, yeah, getting people to just think about it and making that next step for change and changing it and reinterpreting it and making it something that's ours. So, you know, it was given to us by white people for whatever reason it was and however it was interpreted and taken. And now I've turned my pieces, because it's not going to be for everybody, and turned it into jewellery and adornment and empowerment.
Yeah, now the exhibition is launching in a couple of days' time. Needless to say, we might still be in lockdown, but people will still be able to see the pieces in person, if ever we're out of lockdown, but they'll also be able to see them online. This is not just an exhibition. It's also about powerful stories behind your pieces. What's the takeaway message for the visitors or viewers?
My message to anyone that's going to be attending, hopefully attending, as a visitor or even online, is to really just learn about every story that the artist has. It's not just jewelry. It is a story. Each and every one of us artists, like there's 11 of us, and we've got all our own unique ways and our own unique stories and techniques. And when you do go in and have a look, or visually, you know, on obviously with the restrictions or whatever's going to be happening online, take time out to find out who the artist is and what their story is about, and you know, and admire the beautiful pieces that have been created, because they are all unique. Look, I just can't wait. I can't wait because I'm excited to see everyone else's works. I haven't seen everyone's pieces yet, so I'm really excited to have a visit and to be inspired as well from everyone else's creative practice.
I agree with Cassie, and one of the most beautiful things that I've experienced in this course is the fact that there's 11 different people with 11 different inspirations, and what we've explained that we've actually worked on is only a fraction of what you're going to see. I have seen quite a few of the other pieces, and I just love them and I find inspiration from them. So I think it's going to be a very, very unique exhibition. So don't miss the opportunity, I think.
Now, both of you have really inspired me. Cassie, with you telling the story of how you connect the past, the present and the future. And you, Ange, telling the story of how something that can be viewed with a negative connotation can actually hold a totally different and actually positive weight. You've both inspired me to tune in and check out the pieces once the exhibition goes live, or why not check it out in person at the Koori Heritage Trust in Melbourne, just downstairs from my workplace. Cassie and Ange, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
NITV Radio. Share our stories on Facebook.